Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, here you're a little bit under the weather.
That's true. I have removed my head from the vise, which has been stuck in for the past several days, to a visit with you nice people. So thank you for, you know, giving me a break.
We're going to soldier on through. We're like the postman. Like Kevin Costner's The Postman. Except we're not 3.5 hours long and terrible. Before we get on to this week's episode, I do want to mention, like I always do, please rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes. We've gotten a good chunk this past week, and it resulted in us being very visible on the iTunes top 100 list of TV film, et cetera, et cetera. I think iTunes also featured us somewhere in their end-of-year television podcast, along with like a million other, all 40 Flash podcasts there are. And
hey, now the Flash is important, darn it.
I haven't watched it yet. I've heard it's very good.
It is actually quite great.
Okay, so this week at Flash Talk, this week's episode is Principal Charming, episode 7F15, written by David M. Stern, who also has written Bart Gets an F, our currently number one episode on Best Episode Ever. He's also, we didn't mention this before, brother of Daniel Stern, the actor, narrator of Wonder Years, which David Stern also worked on. And Daniel Stern does a voiceover narration later in the season for Three Men in a Comic Book. For that little Wonder Years flashback moment. He also has written multiple Marge and Selma and Patty episodes. He's the one who seems to be tapped into them.
He seems to write really good episodes where it tends to have a emotional family vibe, but is still able to work in a lot of humor. So,
yeah,
he's a good guy.
Yeah, directed by Mark Kirkland, another the most prolific director. Originally aired February 14th, 1991, Valentine's Day. So, very appropriate episode. First appearance of Hans Moleman, Groundskeeper Willie, and the Squeaky Voice Teen. Even though I didn't think I'd catch the Squeaky Voice Teen. You remember where he was? Was he in the DMV?
I did not see him or hear him that I recall.
I'm going by what Wiki says. I do not know. I didn't catch him when I watched the episode, so who knows. If you guys can point out where he was. Maybe it was like a proto-Squeaky Voice Teen. We just didn't recognize him. Originally, it's in its original broadcast, finished 32nd in the ratings for the week. Nielsen rating 14.1, approximately 13 million households. Highest rated show on Fox, as is it seems to be a trend lately. Past like month of shows have all been the highest rated on Fox.
They're slowly wrapping their tendrils around Fox.
Fox, yeah. Well, that's not stopped. The chalkboard gag is "I will not belch the national anthem." Well, that'd be quite an accomplishment. The national anthem is quite long.
I know, especially if you're doing like verses 2 through 5.
The ones,
I mean, come on.
The ones no one knows. The couch gag folds out into a bed with everyone. That's a very roomy bed if all five of them could fit. On to the recap. Homer's very excited about going to a barbecue place. That Barney is, apparently him and Barney have like a hotline about go-to restaurants.
Well, I mean, come on. It's an all-you-can-eat barbecue restaurant, Robbie. That's the kind of thing people need to know about. I mean, it's called Greasy Joe's Bottomless Barbecue Pit.
Five words.
Five words.
Yeah. I've never heard of a all-you-can-eat barbecue place.
Well, there ought to be one.
That seems very dangerous. Of course, most barbecue places give you so much food that it doesn't even matter.
Well, that's true. I mean, yeah, there's always Sonny's. They have all-you-can-eat.
That's true. That's true. Sonny's does. And Sonny's isn't bad. Is Sonny's a nationwide chain?
I don't know. I thought so.
Okay. You're wrong. I don't know. All you guys, all your listeners, please let us know if there's Sonny's in your neck of the woods, Sonny's Barbecue. I do like to see Marge is doing aerobics in the kitchen.
On like a little portable TV. Yeah. It's like, I didn't even know they had that.
Yeah, and of course, Homer wants to go to the barbecue place. So that necessitates a babysitter for Bart and Lisa. So Homer's, just get Patty and Selma. And this is definitely the first time we see a lot of Patty and Selma and Skinner for get any kind of real character with them. And we see Patty and Selma working at the DMV. This is the first time we learn that how terrible the DMV is and how terrible employees they are. And poor Mole Man makes his first appearance.
It just fits that Patty and Selma work at the DMV, how unpleasant they are. Yeah. And poor Mole Man, driving is his life, Robbie.
I know. And if you look at his license, you can actually see that his last name in this episode is Mellish, I believe. Which, I don't know, they just decided to make a Mole Man because he looks like a Mole Man.
And remember, no one's gay for Mole Man.
Poor Mole Man. I think he does, his entire continuity and history changes at a whim. So,
yeah.
It doesn't really matter. He's just a fun character. They find out they're going to a wedding from some of their coworkers, which also shows us Selma having flashbacks about how chances, you know, Patty happening to push away this security guard, which DMV has security guards?
Sure. I mean, they need people to bust heads when people get unruly. It's the DMV after all.
I guess so. But there's an off chance that maybe Selma would be the one getting married if Patty hadn't intervened in that long ago meeting. And, you know, this is the first scene in this whole episode, a very sad kind of depressing moments for both Patty and Selma. Like, they're up until this point, they're pretty much reviled. Like, they're not real characters. They're just kind of these, you know, the sister-in-law kind of trope where they're grumpy and mean to Homer for no real reason other than they think Marge deserves to be with Artie Ziff. But this really fleshes them out, and God, it's sad.
It's really depressing, and it's the first time we learn that Patty is celibate.
Yeah,
as it were,
quote-unquote celibate. It. Yeah, which changes later on, but as of this moment, she's has a life of celibacy by choice. We find out they're 40 years old, 6 years older than Marge. Selma is singing to Lisa a song, was it Brandy by Elliot Lurie, who I don't know who that is, but
no clue.
it's a very, like, it's the first of many kind of like very like touching moments where they're not just grumpy people. You see why their lives are so kind of flat and they are so grumpy all the time. Marge kind of pins Homer down, you know, after they get back from the barbecue place, and Homer is, his belt is straining.
And then explodes when he just loosens it a tiny bit.
That's all it takes. You release that pressure. Boom. And Selma corners Marge, tells her, please help me find someone. I need someone before it's too late. And she corners Homer in bed. We've actually pulled this clip because I think it's really, it's, I think we just end up pulling all the Marge and Homer in bed scenes.
Because they're so great. It's the perfect time for them to interact as characters, and just, you learn so much about them, and there's always a lot of exposition, there's jokes, there's just everything when they're in bed together.
Yeah, it's true. It's really a handy way for them to move the story along. So here it is.
Homer, do you remember our last family vacation when you made us go to the Bowlers Hall of Fame in St. Louis, Missouri, so you could see that car shaped like a giant bowling pin?
Remember? Who could forget?
Then you'll also remember that you owe me a favor.
Oh,
to be called up whenever and for whatever reason I desire.
But that was just an idle promise.
Not to me.
Oh.
I want you to find a husband for my sister Selma.
Find a husband? Wait, which one's Selma again?
She's the one who likes Police Academy movies and Hummel figurines and walking through the park on clear autumn days.
Oh, yeah. But I thought she was the one who didn't like to be, you know, touched.
It's Patty who chose a life of celibacy. Selma simply had celibacy thrust upon her.
But Marge...
Homer, you will find her a man.
All right.
And not just any man.
Okay.
He should be honest and caring and well off and handsome.
Hey, why should she have a better husband than you do?
So Marge calls in a favor for going to see, what is it? The
Bowling Hall of Fame, isn't it?
Yeah, the Bowling Hall of Fame and a car that's shaped like a bowling pin. And Homer has a picture of him on his dresser of him with the bowling pin car and Marge just being like depressed next to him.
Are there really people that like bowling as much as Homer? Because people talk about a lot of sports, but I've never seen someone who is the bowling super fan that Homer is.
No, there are people out there. There are people who love bowling, who watch professional bowling, who go to the competitions, who are bowling leagues. That's like all they do.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, this is an interesting fact relating to bowling. Chris Hardwick's father was a professional bowler. All you Nerdist fans out there. So Homer reluctantly agrees to find a husband, or help at least find a date for Selma. And so this is my favorite part of this entire episode. Unfortunately, it's very visually based, so we can't really pull a clip for it, but it's basically Homer, like, gets, like, a Terminator, like, vision, where he, like, he has, like, overlays, like a HUD kind of thing, where he, like, highlights different people. We get Carl, who's too attractive. Too attractive.
Of course.
Smithers, a jerk. Yeah, that's the problem with Smithers. He's a jerk.
Uh-huh.
Miss Finch, who's not a dude. We had a poo, some random stranger, and then a Laramie. He actually looks at the Laramie sign. He looks at the Laramie sign. The con is a sign. It's a sign.
Like, well, the pro is he's a smoker, so that's probably very important.
Yeah, exactly. And then finally, at the same time, Bart is getting up into trouble. He finds in science class that there's this chemical that can kill grass. So he pours this chemical onto grass and makes his name, which is Skinner's like, why did you do your name in 40-foot-high letters? Do you think I wouldn't catch you?
Just so we know, the chemical is sodium tetrasulfate. So just so you know, kids, it's a potent herbicide.
You would be the one to point that out, Matt. And Bart's like, well, what? It could be another Bart. There are no other Barts. And so Homer gets called in. We do get a Mo prank phone call first with Bart calling the bar, and he asks if there's any homosexuals, and then Skinner takes the phone from him when Mo, of course, starts to threaten him. And Mo recognizes Skinner's voice without even an introduction.
Which is a little weird. Does that mean that Mo spends way too much time around the elementary school, or is
Mo
Principal
is not,
Skinner older than he looks?
Skinner's not that old. He can't be old enough for Mo to have been in high school. I guess we can talk about that later when goes to dinner with Patty. But Homer comes down, sees Skinner, does the Terminator kind of highlight thing. He was it? He has a lot of pros. The con is possible homosexual. But he asks him, you know, do you like girls? And, you know, Skinner he's like, yeah, yeah. And then finally he asks him out over to dinner. And I
just think that Skinner's response to that is like, oh, these pants come off one leg at a time like everyone else. That's not really answering the question, Seymour.
No, I
do you
think,
like her?
I don't. I think he just was kind of didn't understand what he meant. But
okay,
I don't know. It's Skinner. I think it's just Skinner answering. Like, it very much is the birth of that Skinner. Like, is his like a mama's boy and. Kind of, he's very naive and innocent, even for his age.
Yeah,
it's kind of the birth of that. This is the first time we really see him in kind of any interpersonal relationships. This does feature Homer doing Mr. Burns excellent, and earlier Bart did it as well, which I think is really interesting.
It's catching on, man.
Yeah, this is the first we're seeing the catchphrases kind of cross pollinate. But with that, Skinner agrees to go to dinner. Bart is, of course, upset. And we go to an act break.
And when we come back, we're at dinner. And Selma is, of course, getting all dolled up. She's got a bow in her hair. She's looking all pretty. But
She looks nice. Yeah. I'm going to say, she looks nice.
It's a big improvement over her usual. But, of course, she's incredibly nervous because, you know, Principal Skinner, you know, that's a big league to be in. She's swinging for the fences with this one. And
they're age appropriate. He's, you know, they both have kind of steady, respectable jobs. They're good.
They're both kind of boring. They're perfect fit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So of course Bart is forced to answer the door and is just could not be more pissed off about this. So he quickly gets Skinner in the door and Skinner asks him that hopefully they can leave their schoolyard rivalries outside. And of course Skinner, being a fairly bright fellow, asks Homer, it's like, this isn't some kind of con to set me up with an unmarried relation, is it? And at that moment, we cut to Patty walking into the room. And, of course, Homer not knowing the difference between his sister-in-laws, says, oh, I'd love to introduce you to my lovely and available sister, Selma. And of course, Patty is like, no, shut up, Tubbs, I'm Patty. And of course, Skinner.
It's too late, though.
Yeah, Skinner has seen Patty and has fallen in love at first sight. You know, that happens rarely enough with pretty women. I'm not sure that would ever happen with Patty or Selma. Just throwing that out there.
I don't know. It's hard to say. The whole Skinner's personality, I don't know. It's Valentine's Day. I'm willing to give him a pass.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
And who are the women he routinely sees? Teachers, which.
Yeah, that's true.
See, that's, there you go.
Yeah, he sees crazy Mrs. Hoover, Mrs. Krabappel, who's a little bit of
she's available.
Well-traveled woman.
She's readily available.
Exactly. But as they proceed through dinner, Selma is, of course, crushed, and Patty is doing her level best to completely discourage Skinner. They're talking about their trip to Egypt, and Patty's like, oh, it smelled terrible, camels are awful, they spit on you. And, of course, Skinner is just enthralled by this. You know, he's like, oh, he's hanging on her every word. But even when Marge tries to get him to talk to Selma by pointing out the camel spitting incident, he's like, oh, yes, I've heard that it can be troublesome. And he, before the end of the dinner, asks Patty to accompany him to, and this is the weirdest thing, apparently the PTA has asked him to view the latest Space Mutants movie for some reason, because I guess that's what principals do.
I don't know. It's a very strange setup, but whatever.
He asks her out to dinner in a movie, and everyone is just shocked. And before Patty can even say anything, Selma's like, yes, she will go with you. Which is a little forceful, but,
I think that's really sweet, though.
Yeah.
I think that if there is a relationship in this, that highlights the most in this, it's not Skinner and Patty, it's Patty and Selma, where you see that. You mean, this whole first act, we saw Selma kind of, like, sad and being it, like, I mean, Patty is perfectly fine just being alone with, and living with her sister, and them kind of just being together, you know, partners in crime, so to speak, you know, playing cards with her mom. Patty is, like you said, like, completely, like, trying to downplay anything with Skinner. Like, anything he says, she's just like, rah, rah, rah. Like, she's trying to cut him off at the knees, and Selma won't have it. She's like, you have a shot. One of us is having a shot at a relationship, and we haven't had one in forever. So you have to do it.
You're taking it. You're going on this date.
Yeah, exactly.
So once everyone recovers from that, we cut to Bart doing his groundskeeping work, replanting groundskeeper Willie's field seed by seed.
First time we've seen Willie. He's not really much of anything except a Scottish stereotype.
Yeah. He's not nearly as funny as he usually is, but
yeah.
Bart literally has a bag of grass seeds, planting them one by one, which is just the most inefficient thing I have ever seen in my life.
I know. I don't think real gardening works like, you know, just individually plant grass seeds.
It's obviously punishment. But Skinner, in his newfound lovebird ways, asks Bart what kind of candy Patty likes, which is apparently cherry cordials. So, you know. Good on Patty. Those are good candies, especially the dark chocolate versions.
Gross.
Ugh. You and your bad candy-loving ways.
Bad? I don't need fruit in my candy.
But it's cherry. It's barely a fruit. Come on.
Cherries are gross. I don't like cherries.
You and Mel. Ugh. But anyway, once Bart gives him this inside information, Skinner asks him, oh, you've learned your lesson, right? And Bart says, oh, yes, the thought of doing something bad again just makes my stomach churn. So Skinner lets him off and says, oh, you know, go play. And Willie yells at him, you'll be back. As Bart
he's
just
right.
runs away. That's true. He's right. And this is so great because you see Bart just completely taking advantage of Skinner.
Yeah, Skinner is in, like, a haze for the whole, like, most of this episode. So all the kids are just like, hey, we are in charge now.
Yeah. So we then cut to Patty and Skinner's date, and they are at the Springfield Revolving Restaurant, which, has any city besides Seattle had one of those since, like, the 60s?
No, there's I know there's some. Okay. They have them. They're just not, They are, they're, at this point, if they still exist, they're complete novelties. Yeah. I mean, they're novelties to begin with, but now they're like, hey, look at this crazy thing we used to do.
Of course.
But food... they don't go that fast though in real life.
No.
They go
no.
very, very slow.
Yeah, you're there, your entire dinner, you might do one rotation kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So, of course, Skinner pulls out the science fact because he's a nerd and says the food tastes better when you're revolving. Because, sure,
that's,
it does.
Yeah, that's why astronauts like their food so good.
yeah, sure they do.
But that, I just, was that an actual, I told a Matt joke.
Yes, you did.
I told a Matt joke.
That's why astronauts take hot sauce and put it on everything, of course. And, of course, the service at the Springfield Revolving Restaurant is absolutely terrible. And when, they, you know, scream for the waiter, up walks this kid who's obviously, like, this shifty 20-something, never made anything out of his life. We literally, he's almost 30. But he's got long hair, his shirt's not tucked in. And of course, Principal Skinner, being the principal of the only elementary school in Springfield, knows it's little Jimmy Pearson. Or Peterson, I can't remember what it is.
I think it's Pearson.
Pearson, okay. Pearson. Yeah. And he said, what class is he? Class of 71?
Class of 71. But when does elementary school end? That's my question. What, fifth grade? Sixth grade?
Fifth or sixth, depending on where you're at.
Yeah, so, yeah.
That's a long time. So,
yeah, it's 20 years. This. 20 years. He was, I guess if he was 10 when he got out of elementary school, he would be 30 now.
That makes sense.
I guess it's roughly okay. I mean, it just, the timeline seemed a little strange to me, but well, that means Skinner's been a principal for 20 years.
Probably more, actually, because didn't he, according to later episodes, he became the principal when he came back from Vietnam, so that would have been in the mid to late 60s, so he probably would have seen Jimmy Pearson as a kindergartner through fifth grade as one of his first classes. And then, of course, once they're done eating, they go to see Space Mutants 5, The Land Down Under, which I would love to see these movies in real life, because they look awful. Not quite Menno's Hands of Fate awful, but pretty bad. And it's great because Skinner sees...
What is it? A wallaby?
Uh-huh.
He says a wallaby kills the dingo?
Oh, yeah. Didn't you know wallabies are vicious little creatures?
Miniature kangaroos.
Yeah, they're real scary, Robbie. They're like drop bears.
But you gotta watch out for those drop bears.
Oh, Australia, where everything's trying to kill you, no matter how cute and fuzzy it looks. But Skinner sees the teenagers in front of him do the old yawn arm behind the date trick, and he starts it, and Petty goes, no. Or what does she say?
Don't be stupid.
Don't be stupid, that's right.
Which I did like, I really thought that. I mean, they are in their 40s. I think they're a little bit past the old stretch and put your arm around somebody thing.
That's true.
But of course, Skinner, it ties back into that. He's kind of this innocent, naive guy. He's not really had a lot of romance in his life. So that's probably like, an advanced move for him.
That's true. He's like, oh, I'm picking up tips today. Hey.
Yeah, from the high schooler.
So once the movie is over and they both thoroughly hated it, no surprise. Any movie that's number 5 in a series, you're probably not going to like.
But what about, Empire Strikes Back, man.
Technically, that is, I suppose it's 5, but, you know, it was the second screened one.
I'm just teasing. That's a number 2. That's not number 5. That's garbage.
Remember how terrible Star Trek 5 was? Ugh.
The even ones. That's the rule.
The even ones are good.
Even numbered Star Treks are good.
Yeah. So, anyway. So, Skinner begins to ask for a second date. We've actually pulled this clip because it's just hilarious how many excuses Patty makes before Skinner finally gets the idea, and we're going to play it for you now.
So, see me again tomorrow?
I'm afraid that's my microwave cookery class.
Then the day after that.
Oh, gee. Taekwondo.
The day after that, then.
Seymour, you're touching me.
Kiss me, Patty. I don't have cooties.
Hi-ya! Thursday, I'm going food shopping. You can come along if you like.
Until then.
It's great because Patty has her microwave cookery class. She has all kinds of fun things that she can be doing.
Fun things.
Yeah. That's a 40-something single woman does.
Well, like you, this is another kind of insight into their life. Like you see what Patty and Selma do. Like every time they're trying to make excuses about like, oh, we have to play hearts with mother or we have to go to microwave cookery class. Like, that's what they do. That's their life together.
And seriously, get a better life.
I know. Well, that's, I mean, when you're, if you're in Springfield and you're a lady and you're 40 years old, what else is there to do? They're not, you know, it's not the big city.
Go hang out at the library with the cool kids.
Okay, Matt. Yeah.
Anyway.
Absolutely.
Eventually, Principal Skinner, you know, just tries to push in for a kiss, and Patty karate chops him, knocks him on the ground.
He flies across the room. It's great. I love it.
And then Patty, in a rare moment of mercy, says, I'm going food shopping on Thursday. You can come with me if you want.
You can come grocery shopping with me.
Great second date there, Patty.
Yeah, well, it's Patty. And Skinner is happy. He loves her already, I think. She karate chops him. He does not care.
He's like, I got a second date out of it. I'm great with this.
Yeah.
And he says, until then, my sweet, and we cut to a commercial.
While they're having fun, I guess, all the kids are going crazy. Skinner does not see any of it. Like, all he sees is Selma everywhere. Or Patty everywhere, excuse me. Well, I mean, sort of, he sees.
You never know which one is which, except for the part in their hair.
The earrings. That's right. The earrings. You got the S earrings is Selma. And the little triangles are Patty. But the kids at the school are going crazy. Bart has Skinner in his pocket, basically. Skinner catches him doing some graffiti on the wall, which it's like a very crude drawing of a lady. And all he does is see Patty. He doesn't see the weird drawing, and he just lets it go because it's like he's in love and everything's working great. Bart finds out from Skinner that he's going to ask Patty to marry him.
The him ring shopping is just hilarious.
Yeah, they go to the Family Jewels. It's the jewelry store. And the cashier, the salesman is really pushing hard. The rule is 2 years' salary? I thought it was 2 months' salary.
I thought it was 2 months as well.
But even that's ridiculous. I'm not spending that much money on it. I don't care how much money you make, that's too much money.
Yeah, right.
In regards to... He caves because Bart's like, you know, that's what she wants. She wants the big ring. You know, she wants the big jewel. You want to make an impact. Homer's at Moe's trying to find a date for Selma, and Marty volunteers because he's not a picky man. Moe has my favorite line in this whole episode is, you're making happy hour bitterly ironic. Great line. You know, Selma is kind of getting dressed up at the same time that Skinner is being prepared to propose to Patty. Selma is like in a cocktail dress. She kind of breaks down. It's like, I have to do someone. Who cares? The next one. Next train in the station is I have to. She agrees to go on a date with Barney, who has a fly. He's like the Charlie Brown character.
Pigpen.
Pigpen. He's like Pigpen. He has a bottle of schnapps and a fly flying around him.
And he doesn't remember any of his time after he left the army.
Yes. So she's going on a date with Barney.
To Moe's, of all places.
To Moe's. At the same time, Skinner is proposing. He carries Patty all the way up to the top of the bell tower at school.
Which, obviously, he's still in military shape, because my God, would that be hard.
Yeah, exactly. That's taking up anybody, carrying them up flights of stairs is hard. And then when it's on top of that, it's Patty, even harder. But he takes her up to the bell tower, which... you know, to like a romantic moment, she pulls off her, or he has her blindfold, he pulls it off, and he's used the chemical that Bart used earlier to put Marry Me, Patty, in the grass.
You seem preoccupied tonight. My little pudding cup.
My sister's on a date with a big fat rummy.
Oh, well, there's something up here that will pick up your spirits.
Marry Me, Patty? Jeez'em crow, look at the size of that rock.
It's the second most precious jewel in this bell tower. Patty, the question before you is, will you marry me?
Seymour, I don't know. I mean, this is so...
Oh, just say whatever's in your heart.
Okay. You see, it's not that I don't love you.
You love me! Kaloo-kalay!
Yes, but...
But?
But I'm a twin.
And as such, I have a special...
Special tie to your sister, yes.
And the only man I could marry would have to understand...
That you couldn't leave your sister for any man.
Oh.
Yes. So I know you appreciate why you can never...
See you again?
Exactly. Mm. It's kind of a catch-22.
I think at this point, this clinches her, this in her mind, that it doesn't matter. Like, if she's with her sister, they're together, that's who she's going to be, that's the most important relationship in her life, and no man can replace that. And couldn't do it. Even if she got married with somebody, it's, their connection is too close, their bond is too tight. Skinner kind of fills in the blanks as she's saying this, and you won't marry me. Which is another, just a long line of very sad moments in this episode. So she goes to Moe's, retrieves poor Selma, who's stuck on his terrible, I think she even, she's like, I can't leave this date, and then she's like, never, and they leave. They're just and Barney's even sad for a second before he realizes he has an entire pitcher of beer for himself. Principal Skinner is, weeping on the lawn of the elementary school. And he sees the sign, which has been defaced by Bart. He's changed the letters around that says Bart Simpson, owner and proprietor, which proprietor is spelled wrong. And this is visually and replicates one of the lines from Gone with the Wind.
Tomorrow is another school day.
Yeah, tomorrow is another school day. Basically, this is the death of, the lovelorn Skinner. Now he's going to be back to business. Patty and Selma decide to go get pancakes. Which I love that. Both of them are kind of sad and upset. So, let's go get pancakes.
Pancakes make everything better.
But the episode ends with Bart replanting the entire lawn of Springfield Elementary, apparently, which I don't understand why all the other grass is dead. But, and Groundskeeper Willie kind of making fun of him.
I told you you'd be back.
Yeah. Let's see. I did realize I missed a Vertigo reference early on in that first act when Bart has burnt his name into the grass. Really one of many, many, many Hitchcock allusions the Simpsons come back to over and over and over again. Anything else, Matt? Anything else you want to say? The revolving restaurant has a lot of good background visuals. Yeah. As they're revolving, you see the prison and people having a riot and the fire and all kinds of crazy stuff. Oh, there is that moment when Bart has found out that Skinner is going to propose, and he tells Selma.
Yeah.
And she's like, here, Bart, cheer me up. And he tells her that, and she's just just her cigarette ash drops off the end. She's like, thank you.
Poor Selma.
Oh, my God, poor Selma. Yeah, this episode is very sad. Selma especially. I mean, Patty has it and then chooses not to go with Skinner. Selma is just completely lovelorn. It's just so, so sad.
Well, don't worry. In just one more season, she'll get to be with Sideshow Bob.
Yes, that's so much better.
Wait, it's not?
No, not really. I don't think Bob is a good replacement for anybody. I mean, he's very well-spoken, very smart. He's also a lunatic who murders people, or attempted murder. They don't give you a Nobel Prize for attempted chemistry now, do they? but yeah, this is a very solid episode. My overall thoughts.
It is. I mean, we're going to get to this a little later, I'm sure. And it's just, it doesn't really stand out much, but it is still, it's been very well-paced, and everything about it is just solid.
Yeah, and it does shine a light on several characters that we haven't really seen much of aside from kind of cameo background stuff like Skinner and Patty and Selma. And Hans Moleman and Willie. I got that's worth something. This week, comments from the news group. Nothing, really. Not much of consequence. It's come back after it disappeared last week, but still, not much. Not much there. Listener question of the week. What is the best episode with verses in the title, and why? You guys really came out for this one. I think this is our biggest response in a while. I wasn't expecting it. This is kind of a strange question a little bit, but a lot of responses, a lot of interesting responses. First, we go to Twitter. Sean at SeanieMac15. Most people say Marge versus the Ronrail, which is not true, actually. But Homer versus 18th Amendment gives us Rex Banner and the Beer Baron. I vote for beer. It's hard to argue against beer. John at ChoppleStyle311. Homer versus 18th Amendment gave us to alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems. Hashtag knockover tombstones. Good luck. Alex at Forte Splat. Bard vs. Australia. I'm impressed you're able to write so legibly on your own butt. Amanda, Drawn to Insanity. Lisa vs. Malibu Stacy. The personal life of Waylon Smithers. The politics of dolls. Abe with a job made for a great episode. Coldy at Commander Cody 83. I think that's his holiday name. Coldy. The City of New York versus Homer Simpson. Crab juice over Mountain Dew any day. Kevin at KPYA2. Going City of New York versus Homer Simpson. Don't know if this is tasteless, but they stick all the jerks in Tower 1.
Aww.
I think it's enough time. It's been 10 years. I think we're allowed to make references to the World Trade Center again. Eric Daniels, real Eric D. The City of New York versus Homer Simpson, enough said. The montage of Homer's first trip ending with a cop stealing his luggage and having to wait for Officer Grabowski. Our very funny scene. 7 crab juices out of 10. We on Facebook, Brian, Marge, Mr. Ronrail, of course. It may very well be the most quotable episode of the series. I call the big one Bitey. It's more of a Shelbyville idea, which I use when I'm trying to convince a friend to do something. And finally, Marge's Homer's conversation. Homer, there's a man here who thinks he can help you. Batman? No, he's a scientist. Batman's a scientist.
Which is true.
It's not Batman. Chris, Grandpa versus sexual inadequacy, which this is a sleeper one. I really, a little later season, but a really strong episode. Your new improved love life should have you flinging woo like nobody's business. What's wrong with your wife? You wouldn't understand. Flu, protein deficiency, pneumonia ultra microscopic sulfaconiosis.
That was it exactly.
Yes. And the touching ending where they're on fire and bond by stop, dropping, and rolling together in the grass. Danielle, Bart vs. Australia. As an Australian, it's fun to play cliche bingo. So we get some Australian opinion there. Abby, Bart vs. Australia for this quote alone. I'm impressed you're able to write so legibly on your own butt. Plus, Hopping Mad Collection Agency, Knifey Spoony. I'll have a coffee, beer it is. The Prime Minister in the lake. Homer crying when the toilet at the embassy flushes. The American way. Poe Buddy's Nerfect. Many, many, many more things. Finally, Daniel. Homer versus 18th Amendment. Homer saying kaboom, blam, in a bizarre attempt to pass off the steel explosions as his own flatulence is one of my favorite moments of Homer logic in the series. Plus, we're disobeying an unjust law here. We're patriots. Like all those people in jail.
Yeah.
So, Matt, what's your answer? I think I already know it.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obviously Homer versus the 18th Amendment, because, I mean, Homer versus something that keeps him from his alcohol is just the greatest thing ever could possibly be. With Rex Banner and them making the stills and the whole bowling delivery mechanism and the speakeasy, oh, it's just fantastic.
I'll catch you one day, Beer Baron.
No, you won't.
Mine, City of New York versus Homer Simpson.
Nice.
That boot is just ridiculous. Like, the contrast between the family's time versus, Homer is trying his best to like the city, and it just does not work. He's trying to, and it, you know, driving with that boot on the car, and it's just destroying his own car. Ugh. So good. Listener question next week. Favorite Simpsons romance? That's a lot of them, but I don't think I have one in mind for this. It's a tough one.
Well, hey, we had Patty this week. We could always go with her sort of romance from the much later seasons.
I don't think I'm going to do a Patty or Selma romance.
Aw.
I know. I'm not sure. That's a tough
one.
I don't mind
already. Don't worry.
Okay. I'm going to have to think about it. I've got ideas, but I gotta think. So, yes, listener question for next week is favorite Simpsons romance and why? I post this question on all our social media. You can find us on Twitter at Simpsons Show Pod. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. Email us, simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com. Any of those places, get send us your answers, thoughts, complaints, criticisms, suggestions, any of those things. We like to hear from you guys. I continually try and mine the internet for interesting new interesting new Simpsons things. I posted a lot of stuff this week. In particular, just happens to have a lot of stuff coming out. Especially, it was a Simpsons birthday this week. 25th birthday. So
it's the silver anniversary.
Happy birthday, The Simpsons. Finally, we're going to do the segment we end every week with, and that is Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is the segment where we rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode and how good they are. I'm looking at, I don't know, Matt, where, like, is it better than Dead Putting Society?
That's exactly where I was looking. I'm like, well, it's definitely not better than the way we was, or One Fish, Two Fish, Blowfish, Bluefish. Bart gets hit by a car, has Lionel Hutz, so, But Dead Putting Society is pretty funny, but it doesn't seem to have quite the pacing or, like, the emotional aspect that this one does. So I would probably put it above Dead Putting Society.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I'm trying to weigh it out. This is not as jokey an episode, even though there are plenty of funny moments. It's much, much centered on character and heart. And it's hard to kind of weigh these things in comparison to one another. I think that's, like, one the strong point of the series is the fact it can hit so many notes and still make sense and kind of maintain a connective tissue, so to speak, between episodes. So you put it at a new number 5 above Dead Putting Society?
I think I would, because I really enjoy the... In any show, I'm always the guy who's like, I want to know more about all the side characters. And I really enjoy how much this fleshes out Skinner.
But Flanders. Flanders, Dead Putting Society.
Yeah, that's true, but I don't know. I feel like Dead Putting Society does flesh out Flanders, but in a kind of stereotypical way.
Superficial?
Yes, superficial. That's the word I was looking for.
Okay. I can see that. And I think that the heart in this is, I don't know. When you pull off something like that, I think it should be, it probably is a little bit more difficult, like degree of difficulty, and especially making Patty somewhat so relatable and kind of empathetic when all we've seen of them so far is kind of these one-note tropes of sister-in-laws. So it certainly does do that very well. So, we can do this. New number 5. I would say that's a good spot for it. There you go, folks. New number 5, Principal Charming. Behind Bart Gets Hit by a Car, now in front of Dead Putting Society. Still last place, Homer's Odyssey. Eventually, it will not be in last place. It may take us a while, but I'm sure we'll find something that challenges it.
True. Once we get past season 20, all bets are off.
We're going to have to wait quite a while until we get to season 20, Matt.
Hey, until we start doing 5 episodes a week.
Are you going to be editing those episodes?
Nope.
Okay, then. You can find the list of Best Episode Ever on our website, which is simply thesimpsonsshow.com. You can find everything there. All new episodes, downloadable streaming, links to all our social media, plus a link to our RSS feed if that's how you want to listen to us. Plus, you know, contact us through there. You can donate to the show if you'd like. We'd appreciate it, of course. You'd be the first one. We haven't had any, and there's rewards listed there. You know, you pay, donate a certain amount. You can choose a question for our listener question of the week, or have your question featured, like your answer featured, or, you know. Next week, what are we doing, Matt?
We are doing Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? First introduction of Herb.
Herb. I love Herb. Danny DeVito. It's a good episode.
I think this is the first season, obviously, where they start pulling out the guest stars, and they just, right out of the gate, are just nailing them.
Yeah, I was looking ahead, and do you remember what the first episode of season 3 is? So yeah, next week, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And I think that'll bring us to a close. With that, I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.